How's everybody doing this morning? You know, you would think after a couple Sundays, you would know that when you come in, not to sit where you've normally been sitting. Amen? So let's all stand up. Let's gather in here just a little bit closer. Come on, everybody. If you're on the second row, you got to move to the front row, okay? Oh, you can do it. You can do it. Well, let's move everybody up just a few rows. Let's get in here just a little bit tighter. I personally think it makes for better worship because we have somebody to sing with rather than just singing by ourselves. And next Sunday, why don't we come in here and start filling up from the front back? That be okay? I had a couple of guys that did move up this morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for giving us a brand new week. And Father, we didn't awake to a bright, sunny Sunday morning. It was kind of rainy and drizzly. But Father, we realize that in life, we need the clouds. We need the rain. And Father, sometimes we think we get too much rain. But Father, we don't want to let what's happening with the weather to affect us on what's happening on the inside. And Father, we pray there be no clouds this morning between us and you. We pray that we fully sense the radiance of the presence of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray as Matt and Caleb and these other guys this morning, not our normal worship team, but this team who led us in our collegiate conference as our regular team gets a break this morning to just sit and worship, that, Father, the songs that they have chosen be songs that aren't just songs we're going to sing. And that we're not going to accept or reject these songs because we may be familiar with them or we may not be familiar with them. But that these are songs that will lead us into your presence, will cause us to focus on you. So, Father, right now, just let this be a dynamic morning of worship. And let it be kicked off right here at 8 o'clock. May this be a day to where many of us, if not all of us, truly experience another increment of life change. Or for that person who does not know you this morning, I pray this would be the day that they would turn their life over to you. That every hindrance, every doubt be removed this morning, and this be the morning that you effectually call them to your Son, Jesus. In your Son's name we pray, Father. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Great to see you all. As Brother Ricky mentioned, this is the team that led the music during the college conference. So we're going to learn it. And this is a new song we did during the conference, this very first song. The rest of them I think you're going to be very familiar with. Let's learn this song together called Hosanna. All right, we're going to sing Praise is Rising. Come on.
Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you, we turn to you.
Come on, guys.
Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you, we long.
Cause when we see you,
we find strength to face the day.
In your presence,
all our fears are washed away. Washed away.
Sing Hosanna.
Hosanna. Hosanna. You are the God who saves us. Worthy of all our praises, Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us, we welcome you here, Lord Jesus.
Hear the sound of hearts.
Hear the sound of hearts returning to you. Ooh, we turn to you.
In your kingdom,
in your kingdom, broken hearts are made new. Lord, you make us new. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away.
Washed away.
Washed away. Hosanna. Hosanna. You are the God who saves us. Worthy of all our praises. Face the day. In your presence, all our fears. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Let's sing it again. 'Cause when we see you, 'cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. 'Cause in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Amen. Washed away. Sing Hosanna.
Hosanna. Hosanna. You are the God who saves us. Worthy of all our praises. Hosanna. Hosanna. Come have your way.
The God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and let's turn our attention to the baptistry this morning.
We come this morning giving God thanks. Wednesday night during our service, he truly poured out his spirit. We had three students give their life to Christ, and we had four others who came under conviction. We ask you to keep praying for them. That they would rest in Christ alone. And Allison comes this morning because she has put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Allison, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ our Lord, I now baptize you as my little sister in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Buried with him by baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life.
A way to begin a early morning worship service. Seeing someone who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ go down into the water of baptism to signify that they are dead to sin, alive to God. Their faith is no longer in themselves, but in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Had the sweetest conversation with Allison yesterday on the phone as she called Brother Ricky to tell me that she got saved and wanted to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. She's got grandparents and family here this morning. Let's wave at them. Thank y'all so much for being here to support her in that decision. Welcome this morning to Hardin Baptist Church. Sometimes it's kind of early to sing a song like we just sung. Amen. We get in here and, wow, that's a song that wakes us up. That's a song that makes us realize God is worthy of all our praise. And I hope this morning that you're here for that one reason, and that's to give our God all of our praise because He is truly worthy of it. If you're a guest of ours this morning, welcome to Hardin Baptist Church in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's some guys that are going to come right now to the front of the congregation, and they're going to stand in front of you. And if you're a guest this morning, do you mind just raising your hand? These guys are going to walk back toward where you're at, and they're going to place a guest card into your hand. If you would take that guest card, we would like for you to fill it out a little bit later on in our service. If you don't mind, drop that guest card in the offering plate, and just know that we appreciate you being with us at Hardin Baptist Church. And you know, we always welcome our guests, but you know, if you're a member and you've been here forever, or you're a regular attender and you've been here for years, we appreciate you. This place would not be this place. We would not be who we are if it was not for you. So just thank you for being faithful to the worship of our Lord and Savior on the first day of the week. Let's stand together real quick and just shake our neighbor's hand. And then our worship team is going to call us back to the worship of the Lord this morning. And let's be ready to give Him our all this morning. Adoration and praise to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Let's sing, guys. The splendor of our King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps Himself in light, and the darkness tries to hide, and trembles at His voice, trembles at His voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! All will see how great, how great. How great is our God?
Lord, how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God.
You're the name above all names. God this morning, say amen. Amen. Let's sing, guys.
How deep the Father's love for beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch's treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one. Sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulder. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice. Scoffers. It was my sin that held him dead until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts
There's no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Pray together. Father, we want to give You this time, nothing of our own, but Father, we just want to join together in with our voices and with our hearts, Father, as Your people, and God, just lift You in praise and in song.
Amen.
God, truly give You all the worship that you deserve.
Amen.
Father, as we sing, let us lift this offering up to You.
Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Joe.
your right hand is a heart of my own heart, whatever defaults, still be my vision, oh.
By the things of this world. We don't want to be blinded by the things within our hearts and minds. We don't want to be blinded by our thoughts of goodness and by our thoughts of the things we have made here on this earth. This morning it's all about you. Be our vision, Lord. We may see you. Lord Jesus, be glorified. We love you and we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, open to the book of Hebrews as we continue our Hebrew series, Jesus Christ, His Person, His Priesthood, and His People. This morning we're going to read verse 35 through 39, but remember this is the second part of what was going to be a two-part look at verses 32 through 39, but has actually now turned into a three-part. So you got to come back next week to get the final part of these verses. Hebrews 10:35 says, "Therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward." Note this next word, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming in will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." The writer in the previous verses has brought what I believe to be perhaps the strongest warning in Scripture about the consequence that comes to a person who once for all turns his back on Jesus Christ and his death as the only hope of salvation. He follows that stern warning, as he always does in the letter, though, with a strong word of assurance. And to assure his audience, he asks them to do two things. He asks them to first look back, and then he asks them to look ahead. By looking back, he wants them to realize, as we discussed last week, that God has ordained the use of trials to get them ready for not only what he's getting them ready for in this life, but what he has ready for them in the next life. You and I must always remember that God has not only ordained our destination, He has ordained the journey to our destination. If I could remind you this morning, Scripture teaches that the destination for a believer is not only a place, but a person. It's not only God's plan to take us to a place called heaven, but it's His plan on the journey to shape and mold us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. The passage before us this morning, though, is going to ask us to look ahead. Not just back at the trials we've been through, but in the midst of the trials we find ourselves in, He's going to ask us to look ahead to the return of Jesus Christ for His people. And to know that when Jesus Christ comes, He's going to bring with Him what He's promised each one of us. Now, briefly this morning, let's dig in, beginning with verse 35. Now, I know there was a sense in which we touched briefly this verse last week. But the more I studied this week, it's crucial that we understand this in light of the return of Christ. And then next Sunday morning, we're going to focus all of our attention on the return of Christ. Because if we're supposed to be living in light of the second coming, it's important that we be prepared for what's going to happen when Christ comes. And unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation out there about the return of Christ. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Why? Because it has great reward. This word confidence, we've been introduced to it several other times in the sermon. You remember this word literally means frankness of speech or conduct. It literally means to be bold. Now what the writer is encouraging the Jewish church to do is to go where no Jew has ever gone before. Did you Trekkies pick up on that? Amen? For see, no Jew had ever been able to pull back the curtain literally and go into the very presence of God. And now what he's encouraging the congregation to do is to pull back that curtain into the Holy of Holies of God and by faith go into the very presence of God. And he's just been reminding us in this passage that there are times when we, realizing what Christ has done for us and that we've been brought into a right relationship with him, that there is now no barrier between us and God, so we, the righteous ones of God, can at any time, at any moment, enter by faith into the very throne room of God and our fellowship with him. Amen. Come on, guys. Amen. And I don't know about you, but in that time of fellowshipping with God, it usually on my part turns into a time of worship. When you bask in the presence of God and He reveals Himself to you, it just causes within you for you to want to give Him what He truly deserves, and that's your worship. But earlier, in the fourth chapter, we're told to, with boldness, pull that curtain back. And come into the very throne room of God, not just to worship God, but to come into His presence when we need help. And He has promised us that every time we come into the throne of God and we need grace and mercy is there for us. What is so amazing about the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, and now I think as the writer has expounded the doctrine of the high priesthood of Jesus Christ, you understand this now, that when you come into the very throne room of God and you need help, it's usually in a time when you feel like you failed, so the first thing that He offers you is mercy. Simply defined, what is mercy? Mercy is the ability to recover. It's the ability to heal from what you've been through. But we don't just come to God for mercy. We don't just come to God for forgiveness. We come to God for grace. While mercy is that ability to recover, grace is the ability to now do what Christ did. Grace is not permission. Grace is God's enabling power that enables you, when you come into the throne room of God, to receive from Him His enabling power to do everything that He's called you to do. Wow. And now what does He tell me? What does He tell this Jewish congregation? Do not cast away your boldness. You know what this literally means? It means don't throw it down. Don't throw it away. Now, I don't know what you sense in this. Let me tell you what I see here. I see a preacher writing to a young congregation that's been through a tough time of testing, and they're frustrated. Any of you ever seen someone trying to do something, and they get frustrated in the process? I haven't seen this very often, but from time to time, I've been on the golf course with a few people. They're trying to get the little ball from the tee into the hole, and somewhere along the journey, they get frustrated, and they throw down what they have in their hand. Their golf club. And you know, the guys I play with that do that, I'm thinking to myself, you're not good enough to throw that down. Hey, man. You ever seen an athlete get frustrated and throw down the bat, throw down the glove, throw away the ball, and you're wanting to go hold it? Don't throw that down. Why? Because just like that golf club, there's a good chance if you're on hole number three, you're going to need that club somewhere later on the course. When it goes into the lake or the pond, it's over. When you crack the bat out of frustration, you're probably going to need that a little later in the game. Just last week, I shouldn't tell this because some of you would never believe I could get frustrated. I had the privilege of going helping my mom and dad shell some corn, and I'm this kind of guy that I'm task-driven. I don't know if you're that way, but I already decided how much I thought I should get done, and everything went wrong that day. And finally, I came to a point where I was holding a wrench in my hand, and I was so frustrated that I just throwed it down. And my mom looked at me and said, "What was that for?" I mean, when I threw that wrench down, did I not just say, "I don't need this wrench"? Did I not just say, "This wrench isn't helping me get done what I need to get done"? Can you see this Jewish congregation? They're coming to a place in their life where some of them are going to throw down their boldness. They're going to throw away their confidence. And what the writer is assuring them of, and I can assure you this morning as your pastor, that we don't need to throw down our confidence, our boldness to come into the presence of God in our time of need. Because our confidence, according to this passage, has great reward. Now, it's amazing how sometimes we look for things and we don't look where we ought to look. I've had a lot of people who have tried to understand what this great reward is. And to me, it's fairly simple. Look at your Bibles. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, for it has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Do you get it? What is the great reward of our confidence? What is the great reward of our boldness to live in the presence of God in the Holy of Holies? The reward of your boldness is this. It breeds, it produces endurance. and you need endurance. We touched on this briefly in one of the services. I do not think it was the 8 o'clock service. That the Greek word here is hupomone, a common word that's translated sometimes in the Bible by the word patience, other times perseverance, other times endurance. But you have to realize that Hardin, especially in Dexter, sometimes when we think of patience, our patience is passive. Patience meant you're just supposed to sit back and take what's coming to you. Amen? This is not a passive patience. It's not a passive endurance. It's not the ability to just take and take and take and take and take and never release. No. It's a positive endurance. This word hupomone is a compound word that means to remain under. It's the picture of the weightlifter in the Roman or Greek society who in an athletic contest, when he lifted the weight, he didn't just get it up to his shoulders, but he had to get it over his head. He had to lock his arms. He had to lock his legs, and he had to hold it. He had to remain under it in order for it to be a lift. He could never go on to the next weight until he locked under, remained under the previous weight. And that's the picture here. See, your confidence to boldly go into the presence of God produces the ability to remain under and to remain in every situation God brings you under. You see, the real meaning of this word endurance is what I call spiritual fortitude. This is not just talking about something that's taking place in the realm of the physical. This is that quality that takes place in the realm of the spirit. It takes realm in the realm of the soul. It is spiritual stick-to-itiveness, if I can say that. It means you do not quit. Have you ever been going somewhere, and someone that loved you tried to prepare you for your journey? You personally thought you had everything you needed to get where you were going, but they didn't? Like a mom? I mean, can you remember leaving and mom makes sure you have everything you need, right? I mean, even down to stuffing you with so much food that you're miserable before you start out on the journey. Can any of you ever remember you're stuffed, you're full, you're getting ready to get into your car, and your mom offers you some more? And you assure mom you've had all you need? And mom says something about, well, how about letting me wrap this for the road? Any of you ever taken something as a gift from somebody else for the road? See, what the person knows who loves you is because of their experience. They know there might become a time on your journey to your destination when you're going to need something else. And God is so concerned about you getting to your destination of not only heaven, but being made into the image of Jesus Christ, that He's given you something for the road. Amen? And that's what? It's endurance. It's perseverance. Now, let me tell you something that the Bible teaches clearly. I don't think anybody in here could question this. That the Bible teaches that trials actually test our faith. Everybody agree? Say amen. Trials test our faith. Now, in all of the places where the Bible speaks about trials and what they produce, the Bible always teaches this, that trials produce endurance or perseverance. Amen? So if one is trials test our faith, and two, you agree that What did I just teach you? Was you listening? Trials produce what? Endurance. Then could I draw this conclusion from you? Endurance is a first fruit of faith. Whoa. See, the preacher is writing because he knows there's some in the congregation that have not come to faith yet. And what he knows is God is going to allow things in their life or bring things in their life to reveal whether they do or they do not have faith. See, if you are a person of faith, when you come to a trial, because of faith that you have in God, you look up and you see God. But if you're a person of unbelief, lack of faith, you come to a trial and you don't look up, you look down and you see yourself. Hey, that was worth your price of admission this morning. Amen? If you're a person of faith, when you come to a trial, you look up, you see God. But if you're not a person of faith, when you come to a trial, you look down and you see self. Now the person of faith looks up, sees God, and he keeps on going. But the person of unbelief, the person who does not have a life of faith, when he comes to that trial, because he's looking down and he sees himself, he's going to complain. He's going to question. He's going to quit. And he's not going to stick to the road. And that ultimately says you're not going to reach your destination. See, the person of faith always views his circumstance or his trial through God. But the person of unbelief views God through his trial or his circumstance. Let me give you some biblical examples as we close this morning. For so the Bible teaches that we need endurance. Why? Because after doing the will of God, we will receive what's promised. Now, don't you in any way read into this verse a works-based salvation. It's not what it's teaching. But what it's teaching is that we as believers make a real choice and a real response to the grace of God and God's ultimate plan for us, and God sets before us his will, and we are to pursue that will. And what keeps us in pursuit of that will is we know that when we finish God's will, we're going to receive what he's promised. Because we know that at the return of Jesus Christ, he's going to bring to us everything by sight that we now possess by faith. Do you remember David? I believe with all of my heart, even though David had moments of lack of faith, if you step back and look at the entirety of David's life, he was a man of faith. And you can see that in most of the circumstances that he found himself in. Now, he had moments where he didn't have faith, and he blew it. Started out as a young kid. Do you remember the day that his dad sent him to the battlefield to take bread to his brothers and to King Saul? And little David came up and all of a sudden he saw this huge line of Israelite soldiers. The army of Israel was standing on one bank. And when he got through and he peered everybody back and he looked down in the valley, there was this huge giant named Goliath in the valley taunting the armies of Israel. And he had put out a challenge. I'll represent the Philistines. You choose somebody to represent you, and winner takes all. Amen? Do you know what was evidence that day? There wasn't anybody in Saul's army who were men of faith. Am I not right? Can I tell you why they weren't men of faith? Because the commander-in-chief himself was hunkered down in a tent in the back. Should have been Saul down there taking on Goliath. Amen? But he gives a reward to any man who will take on Goliath. Now let me say what unbelief saw that day. Unbelief looked down there in that valley that day and said, wow, he is so big. I mean, he's too big for us to hit. Little David stepped between those soldiers, and when he saw Goliath, he said, wow, he's too big to miss. Amen? I mean, Israel stood on the bank, and they looked down into that valley, and Israel said, wow, compared to us, he's really big. Little David, though a man of faith, had a complete different perspective. When he peered through those legs of those soldiers and he saw that giant down there, he said, wow, compared to my God, he's really small. Matter of fact, Saul tried to give him the armor of Saul and the sword of Saul to go down into the valley and fight Goliath. And David said, wow, I don't need any of that. Matter of fact, to take on this bully, all I need is a rock and a sling. Why? Because David was a man of faith. Now, what are we? What are we? Are we people of faith? Or are we people of unbelief? See, unbelief always focuses on you and reveals to you what can't be done. But faith looks at God and sees the possibilities of what God can do in this situation. Amen? Do you remember those three Hebrew children who got renamed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You remember that story, don't you? Briefly? Day came to where the king said, I'm going to give you boys another chance. And they said, King, we don't need another chance. We just want you to know we will not bow to your false image because our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. Amen? But I love this next statement. But if not, we will not bow. And because they wouldn't bow, we was going to have an opportunity to see if God would deliver. And King Neb was so mad that he heated that fiery furnace seven times hotter than it had ever been, so that when the guy who opened the door, dead on the spot. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into that fire. Now I want to tell you something. If you are a believer and you have fellowship with God before the fire, you will have fellowship with God in the fire. Amen? I don't know how long they had been in there, but after a while, Neb couldn't stand it. Curiosity got the best of him, and he said, open the door. And when they opened the door to the fiery furnace, he said, hold it. Didn't we throw in three? And now I look and see four. And one of them looks like a son of God. Do you get it? When you get to that trial and you do not bend and you do not bow, you will not burn. And in not burning, God just might allow a pagan like Neb to look into your life and see him. Oh, but there's something deeper in the book of Daniel. For see, I don't know where Daniel was that day. I don't know if he's out of town on business, or if he was down on the beach taking a vacation. But he wasn't there the day Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got thrown in the fiery furnace, or I'm convinced he'd have joined them. Amen? But later, because of his faithfulness to carry out the will of God and be a man of integrity and be true to his identity, jealousy arose in the cabinet. Hey, guys, I'm going to tell you something. If you be faithful to God and God pours out his blessing upon your life, not everybody's going to like you. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm weary of that guy that everybody speaks good of. There are some people who may be good people, but they teach false doctrine and we shouldn't like them. And they are to be proud we don't like them. Amen? But I'm telling you, not everybody's going to like you if God pours his blessing on you. And Daniel was one of those men because he was a threat to those around him. For see, he was getting ready to be promoted to the man over the entire kingdom. And then his co-workers got together and went to King Darius and said, "Hey, Darius, you know what? You're doing awesome. You're great at this. You look like a god to us. Why don't for the next 30 days we halt all worship of anybody else but you, and we're going to deify you for 30 days, and no one's going to worship anybody else but you for 30 days. And boy, Darius, he liked that. And he put it in decree, and it was a law of the Medes and Persians. And when a law of the Medes and Persia was written, it couldn't be broken. Daniel heard of the law, and you know what he did? Did what he'd always been doing. He went home to pray. And they had the video cameras. They had the wiretaps. And just as soon as that act was over, they were back in front of Darius. And Darius is feeling like a fool. And I'll tell you what Daniel chapter 6 says, and all this is precious to me. In Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's life, you've got an unbeliever who, after the fiery furnace, sees what God can do. But in the life of Darius, because of the faithfulness of Daniel, and because of his godliness, Darius now goes to Daniel and says, as he gets ready to throw him in the lion's den, "Is your God able to deliver?" Oh, guys, let's not lose this. See, when you journey to your destination of Christ-likeness, which ultimately leads to heaven, God has created circumstances, he's created trials for you to remain under the trial, and folks are watching you, and as they see you be faithful to God, they will see God be faithful to you, and you will create an awareness of who he is in their life, so that when you get to that big day, and you're getting ready to be tossed into the lion's den, where the odds are stacked against you, amen? The world will want to know, is your God able? And I don't know about you, but I like to use my sanctified imagination from time to time. Now I don't know this is true, but I like to think Daniel knows God's able, but if not, he's not going to quit doing what he's been doing, being faithful to God. So he gets thrown in that lion's den, and I like to think he had a restful night of sleep. I don't see him over on the wall of the cave fearing, because my Bible tells me that God closed the mouth of the lions. Now, if you're a believer and you've just seen what God has done and he's closed the mouth of a lion and you're now out of the palace and you're into a cave, I think you might get this idea. Move over, Leo. I'm going to use your mane for a pillow tonight. Amen? And I can just see him resting there in the cave with his head on the mane of Leo and with his hand around his tail swatting flies till he fell asleep. Amen? But not Darius. Darius didn't get a peaceful rest that night, did he? Darius was up all night long and he couldn't wait till morning. And when morning came, he was out of the palace. And if you remember this, he was at the entrance of the lion's den. And here's what he asked. Daniel. See, his first question was, can your God? And now he asked this question. Has your God delivered you? Amen. Do you see why God has ordained the journey to the destination? It's not about you only. It's about His honor and glory. So God has ordained your trials. And as you journey on the road with endurance, ultimately they come to understand our God is able. See, that's why He says, yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. Now, I'm not going to speak on this because I'm going to devote the whole sermon next Sunday to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And in my personal theology, it doesn't take 6 months. I can tell you in 30 minutes. Amen? So you be here next week. But here's what the writer draws. He draws on the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk was speaking to a people who were going through a difficult time, and they was wondering, when is God going to intervene in our life and bring this to a halt? And Habakkuk said, the righteous shall live by faith. See, the question is not, when is Christ coming to end my suffering? That is not the question. We should not look for a moment when God takes the church off of this earth so we will not go through tribulation. What we should do is take advantage of every time of tribulation that God allows us, and as we live by faith, it reveals who we are, that we are the ones who have brought in to a right relationship with God. But in every moment of tribulation, every time it gets tough, every time some people get between a rock and a hard spot, I don't care how many years they've taught Sunday school, I don't care how many times they've preached sermons, I don't care how much money you've given to the church, I don't care how many people you've led to Christ. If you quit and you turn back, you were not ever His. I am so thankful for a sovereign God who has ordained the circumstances of my life so that as I grow older, I will not fear His coming or death, but I will grow more confident that the faith that has led me through the fiery furnace and the lion's den will lead me into the very presence of God. And if you look at yourself and your life says quitter, complainer, questioner, you better examine yourself to see whether or not you're really in the faith. Father, boy, you're awesome. Lord, there's just some good stuff in this book. And I praise you that you led whoever you led to preach this sermon to these people, because I believe not only did the Hebrew people need to hear this, I believe the people at Hardin needed to hear this. God, don't let us be a bunch of quitters, bellyachers, complainers. Let us quit asking why and understand you've told us why. It's because you've conformed us to the image of your Son, and you chose the path of suffering for your Son. And if He was your only begotten, your uniquely born one, the only one of a kind, how can we, as the adopted children in the family, believe our path would be any different? God, there's a family, there's a man, there's a woman, there's a boy or girl that needs to get up out of their pew this morning, their chair, and they just come down here and they fall on their face and say, thank you, God, for the trial. I didn't realize I needed endurance, but thank you that you've given me it for the road. Thank you that the situations that you're bringing into my life are not only preparing me for what you're getting me ready for, but you've brought it so that I'll be ready for what you have already got ready for me. And that's a home in heaven. That's the ability to live in your presence forever and ever and ever. Father, I don't want to be surprised at who you are when I get to heaven. And I will not be surprised with who you are if I, by faith, am coming into your presence right now for not only fellowship and worship, but in my time of need. Father, I'm going to ask our counseling men and ladies if they would to come and stand here, because there may be a man here who's struggling with accepting you as his Savior. He just don't believe he can live the life. Father, let him realize that there are those who he's seen, but they're not real. And let him get his eyes off of those and get his eyes on you. And Father, call him through your Spirit. Regenerate him now. Bring him to that place that he can trust you as Lord and Savior. Birth him from above so that he can come to a life of faith. And Father, let him step out, or her step out, right at this very moment. Either because they have been born again, or because they desire for someone to talk with them about salvation. Father, right now they can look up and there'll be some counselors standing here. If they'll just come, these men, these ladies will take them to the back in a small counseling room and talk to them about their commitment. Thank you, Lord. We're just going to wait a few minutes, Lord, and let your Spirit move. But we want to be a person who lives with our head up, looking up, seeing you, and then living a life that lives a God life, not a self life. Oh, Father, thank you. Man, you awesome. You glorious. Wake us up from our sleep. And let us get in on what you're in on. And it's in your Son's name we ask it. Amen. Hey, our ushers are going to come right now and they're going to receive our morning tithes and offerings. And we got to do this quick. If you guys would just kind of trot while we're doing that this morning, amen. Because we're about ready to start the second service, and we got to get you guys out of here. Jerry Newsom's going to come right now. If you don't forget, please take that attendance registry. Now, some of you do this when you first come in, but somebody sits on your pew after you've done this. So would you start it down the row? We would like one Sunday for everybody to sign in. You don't know how frustrating it is to read your name on there and know you were here, and you just won't sign. I don't know if you're just rebellious or what. Please, could this be the Sunday everybody listens and honestly doesn't leave till you've signed your name on that attendance register? Could we try that this morning here in this service? Brother Jerry Newsom is going to talk about something very important to our church.
We're doing an Eastern Kentucky Christmas present again this year. We call it Jesus' Birthday Party. We go up and we have a dinner and a meal and have a little teaching and singing, and then we give away the gifts. And this year we've got the names, the sizes, and we encourage you to buy clothes because those children up there really need clothes. Some of his toys will be going up to Eastern Kentucky this year. So if you'd like to be a part of this ministry, stop out front, get a piece of paper, sign your name and telephone number at the bottom of it, and then have it back at the church November 26th.
You've got a great opportunity. Sarah Lovett and Casey are out front in the foyer. We've been talking about the Helping His Kids ministry. Some of you have already given. If you're going to take one of these families and you didn't give to the Helping His Kids ministry, you can go this morning and there's a sampling of the toys that you can choose from. $30 will buy almost $100 worth of toys. we have some toys that are going to be some of the most sought after toys at Toys R Us, Walmart, and places like that.